in this house. Would you let it rain your presence of grace and mercy, of drawing us? I hear the old writer said, if you'll pull me, if you'll draw me, I'll run after you. Would you tug on us tonight? Would you pull on us, Jesus? Would you, Savior? We ask it in that precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. Shake hands with somebody again as you sit, before you sit. What a blessing to be in the house of God. Sure enjoyed the singing again. God bless you, brother. Give them another hand clap. God bless you. He knows my name. Every breath I take, every move I make, He knows our name. Knows it just feels so good to be here. It just feels so good to be here. Praise the Lord, so sweet, and you're so kind. You'll make your preacher happy. We found fried chicken and green tomatoes today. It don't get no better. So it's just been a good day. Just been a good day. I love, born and raised in Blue Ridge, Georgia. Born in Copper Hill, raised in Blue Ridge, Georgia. So I love your state, your people. I love what I feel in this house. I just appreciate the Lord. Please come back tomorrow night if you can. Invite somebody. I feel the Lord is in these services. Feel the timing. Just the Lord is in this timing. And I've prayed and I've asked the Lord to preach or to direction to share what I did. And I couldn't get away from this. He put it on my heart before I left home. About 5 years ago, I guess, praying to church. I guess I got to church that morning. My heart's heavy and just needs were great. And probably 4 o'clock or something, I'm up there praying. 5 o'clock, nobody showed up that morning. It's just me in the presence of the Lord. Somewhere around about 5 or 5:30, I'm sitting in the altar on this side of the sanctuary, kneeling, praying, and I could feel the presence of a person walk in. And I just kept praying, and after a little while, I moved or looked back, and a stranger I didn't recognize is sitting at the back of the church, and he waves at me, and I keep praying, and he makes his way up toward the front of the church, and he introduces himself. He says, Pastor, Brother Wynn, I'm Brother Bobby McClutchison. He said, I'm from the Crossmont Eagle in the Nashville area, a little town called Estill Springs. He said, I've been watching these TV broadcasts for a few years, and said you touched me, and said, I've come for a reason or two. He said, went back to the doctor. He said, I live alone. I got a broken heart, broken life. He said, I live alone. And he said, I went to the doctor just last week, and he told me I've got probably less than a month to live. My heart, he said, there ain't nothing else I can do with it. And he said, a few days ago, I was watching a program. And he said, while you was preaching, I felt something stir. If I could get up there, I mean, you could pray together. He said, I just believe the Lord would touch me. So for the next 2 hours, we had church about good as it gets. Just the Spirit of the Lord came in there. Daylight's breaking, and we're praying. 8 or 9 o'clock, we pray through, and he hugs my neck. And he says, well, I'm getting kind of tired. I think I'm going to head on back home. And a week went by, and Bobby didn't die, and 2 weeks and a month and 2 months and 3 months went by, and his health started turning around. About 4 months, he'd been writing, and he wrote me, and he said, Brother Wynn, he said, I'd like to be a partner with you in the TV. He said, I'm a poor man. He said, I'll send $5 or $10 a month, and he said, I just want to partner with you. So over the next few weeks or months, he'd send an offer, and I'd write a thank you, and I'd write a note. We became quite friends. After about a year, he said, Brother Wynn, he said, I didn't mention it to you. He said, I'm an artist. He said, I enjoy painting. I like to paint. He said, I'm a country artist. He said, just common. He said, I do it for a hobby. He said, but if you'd send a little photograph, a picture of you and Sheila, he said, I'd love to paint your picture. And he said, maybe you could hang it in the TV studio or the church. And we wrote back and forth, and I sent him a picture. And he sent us this, and I remember when the UPS truck pulled up. And this is a copy of it. But I remember when the truck pulled up, and he reached me a package. And we have to order a lot of stuff for the TV ministry, and I wasn't expecting anything. He got the package, and Sheila got it out, and I remember Sheila crying, and we wrote Bobby and thanked him. And over the next few months, we became real good friends, closer friends. And he'd write, and we'd write, and we'd pray for him. And his health just kept progressing, getting better and better. And so for the next 2 years, 3 years, we wrote back and forth. And about a year ago, A little over a year ago, Bobby wrote me again, and this is what he said. I got an idea. I'd like to change your way you're set and the way you move, and I'd like to do some things different. And if you'd send me another photograph, I want to use the two of them and combine them. I want to do another photograph. I want to do another portrait of you and Sheila. And I said, okay, Bobby. And Sheila found the picture. We sent it to him. And a few weeks went by, and he wrote, and I wrote. And then about 6 months later, the letters just stopped. I'd had a phone number. I called it. And there's no answer. Didn't know any of Bobby's relatives. Didn't know how to reach him except through phone or letter. The phone's disconnected. I'd write him. No letters came back. I sent him DVDs. No DVDs came back. And this probably went on for 4 months. And being a pastor, I went and dug out old letters. And I asked Sheila. The Lord wasn't speaking to me, wasn't telling me nothing. I checked, couldn't find anything out about him. And I said, did I write? Did I say anything to offend him, to hurt him? I dug through old letters and just silence. So Brother Roy called me and asked me to come to preach over toward Nashville back this spring. And I'm preaching. And another pastor showed up, Brother Dusty. Brother Dusty said, Brother Wynn, he said, after church tonight, when church is over, he said, please hang around a minute. I got something I want to give you. He said, I think it'll have interest to you. And I said, okay, Brother Dusty. And so after church at night, we hung around and he came in. And I remember I'd preach and I was soaking wet and I'd went and changed. And he sat back there waiting. And it's kind of late. The Lord has been precious that night. Pastor, and I went back there and he walks in and he says, you know Bobby McClutchson? I said, yeah. And I said, that's my friend. He said, I went to see him about a year ago. He said he lived up on the mountain by himself. And he said, I walked up on the porch. And he said, you talking about old Pentecostal church? He said, it sounded like the house is full. He said, I got there with nobody but him and you on DVD. He said, he's playing your DVD and he's dancing around. He's crying. He's shouting. And he said, do you know Brother Wynn? And Brother Dusty said, yeah. I know Brother Wynn. He preaches for me. And he said, well, me and Brother Wynn's friends. And he said, we had such a good visit. And he said, about 3 months later, I went back, and he said his sister was there, and he said Bobby had passed away. He was gone. And he said they were cleaning stuff out, and he said by one corner, he said they had some stuff, said, we're going to throw that stuff away. We don't know what it is. And they said, would you know who that picture is, Bobby started? He said, Brother Wynn, he said, I looked at it, and he said, I was about to start crying. He said, I know who that is. Can I have it? And Brother Dusty brought me this. He brought us this. Brother Bobby had started another picture. He started another picture of Sheila and I, but it was never finished. He bought the material. He had a plan. He had a vision. Paint was paid for. He already had the canvas. This is a copy of it. But death came, and it's an unfinished portrait. And I think I cried half the way home that night. And I was telling the Lord, Lord, when I leave this world, I don't want my life to be an unfinished portrait. And if the Lord would anoint me for just a little while tonight, I'd like to speak to some hearts in this house tonight. If you're not careful, I preach a lot of funerals, a lot. And if you're not careful, chasing all the dreams. If you're not careful, when you leave this world, you're going to leave some things unfinished. But I believe that the Lord's going to come in this house tonight. He's going to remind us what's really important. Hallelujah. Don't want to get so busy paying light bills and phone bills and insurance payments that I get my priorities out of line. Before I preach tonight, would somebody lift your hands and say, Lord, remind me what's really important. Would you please remind me, Jesus? Would you please? Hallelujah. He started it with the intention of finish it. Never knew that death would not allow him enough time to finish it. Why did you stop painting? Why did you stop praying? Why did you give up on your home? Why did you quit on God? Why did you get out of church? Hallelujah. Why did you stop praying for your lost babies? Why did you give up? Why? I want to talk about raising your children in 1 Kings 1 and 5. Then Adonijah, the king of Haggai, exalted himself. I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time and said, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. Hallelujah. We're in a generation where I did some statistics, and I want to be careful preaching tonight. But I did some statistics, a little study preparing my heart to preach this. In the money crash of 1932, the suicide rate, the age was around 50 or 52. World War II, the suicide lowered down in the 40s and the 30s. Vietnam War and the hippie movement, it brought suicide down into the 20s. Where I was born and raised, Blue Ridge, Georgia, Copper Hill, Tennessee, they've been three suicides recently. They weren't 20 years old, and they weren't 50 years old. They were 13 year old. Hallelujah. 13 year old is not supposed to battle suicide. A 13 year old is supposed to not know what it is to be bullied and hurt and rejected. But the enemy, he's no longer going after us senior citizens. He's no longer going after middle age or young men and young women. He wants our babies. Hallelujah. And I don't want you to stand at your graveyard and folks stand around and your babies be an unfinished portrait. Your baby may be 3 months old, 14 years old, or 60 years old, but they're still your babies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may not can spank them when they're 60, but you can pray. You can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. You can drive hell back. You can make a difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must not get so frustrated at our babies that we lose a burden. We must not get so frustrated, hallelujah, at the world and everything that's pulling, that we just throw in the towel and let them go. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach a while, but I wish somebody'd stand up, let the devil know they're my babies and you can't have them. Hallelujah. It's my child. It's my grandchild. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand in the gap. Long as I pray, I'm going to hold on. Long as I can say the name of Jesus, I'm going to hold on. I didn't raise you to go to hell. I didn't raise you to be a drug addict. I didn't raise you to be a drunkard. I didn't raise you, hallelujah, to let the devil have you. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. There is power in prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble them, I feel an anointing in here right now. I believe the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe a prayer will go where we can't go. I believe prayer will reach where we can't reach. I believe prayer will change what we can't change. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Back in the 60s in Harlan, Kentucky, little town outside of it, Cranks, Cal Sellers was in revival, and there's an old coal miner there working about 7 days a week, an old dad. His son had been in church all his life. Something happened. 18, 19 years old, started running with some old hill boys that drank. He started drinking, and his little mom and daddy praying people. And the little Cal Sellers is just preaching. Daddy's all tore up. And Cal Sellers prophesied to daddy, said, if you'll start a fast and if you'll seek God, you've been faithful. Before this revival closes, God will save your son. And daddy started a fast, working 7 days a week in a coal mine, shoveling the dust back in the car to keep the track clean. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, 4 nights of the revival, 5 nights, everybody's getting to move. The little boy got in trouble with the law and left the state. And the devil started warring against dad's mind. 6 nights, the 7th night, last night of revival. Dad lay in that altar, them old work boots, couldn't even afford good church shoes. Just old poor coal miners. Where my daddy's from and my wife's family's from. My daddy was a coal miner. And daddy said, the revival's over. It's the last night. They're saying the closing prayer. And he said, Jesus, you're not a man. You'd lie. And you spoke to me that if I'd seek you, you was going to save my boy. I don't even know where my boy is. Daddy testified later. He said about that time he felt something pulling on my old work boots. And that old rebellious teenager laid there and said, Dad, I'm sorry I've hurt you. Will you help me get saved? Will you help me find Jesus? I'm telling you, prayer will go where we can't go.
Worry won't turn it around. Fear won't turn it around. Whining and grumbling won't turn it around. But if somebody will see God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Someday, Pastor, I want to preach a second part of that sermon last night. You ought to be that little soldier. You ought to just walk the mat. You say, devil, you can't have this boy on my watch. You can't have this grandchild on my watch. Hallelujah, I'm going to stand in the gap, and I'm going to make up the hedge, and I'm going to weep between the porch and the altar. You ought to make up your mind. Hallelujah. I'm going to weep for my babies. I'm going to pray for my babies. 1989, I've got a little 3-year-old. Before we found Mike, and we living in a mobile home. We're getting ready to build our home. Basement dug, block laid. January, it's about 17, 20 degrees. Mud, you know how we live, they call it clay hill, just old red clay. Slushy mud. Ordered my first load of lumber. 2x10s, 3 2x12s. They come and dump it. The band's breaking. The lumber just scatters everywhere. I'm already tired. I got in from a meeting. I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to wait a day or two till it breaks a little bit. Get out there and pile up that lumber and start on it. If I ever heard the Lord whisper to my heart, He said, son, that little 3-year-old is just like that pile of lumber. You can let it lay there in the mud and rot, or you can pick it up and build something out of it. And it can be a house, hallelujah, for my presence to live in. Hallelujah. I don't know how to preach this, and I want to be gentle. You can't have a greater pastor, but bringing your babies to church, it's not enough. Just trying to be good around them, it's not enough. You got to get Jesus in their heart. You got to learn to pray. You got to learn to pray the wrong influence out of their life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to realize, hallelujah, it's not the president, the senator, it's not Hollywood or Nashville. We're the only threat to hell is God's people. Hallelujah. We're the only thing that's holding back everything that the devil like to do. And he does what he does to me and you, what he did to God. When he can't get us, he tries to get our children. Hallelujah. When he can't hurt us, you know why he attacked Adam? Because he hated God and he couldn't do nothing with God, and he wanted to destroy what God loved. When the devil can't do nothing with us, he tries to destroy what we love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish we had a John Paul Jones in here. Your little girl may be a drug addict. Your little boy may be living on the street and the devil whispers it's over. They said little John Paul Jones, he was in the harbor, and they said his ship was tattered and the boards was rotten, and the enemy was all around him, had him outgunned, outnumbered, outmanned. And they said, you ought to surrender. They said it to midnight hour. He straightens his coat and he puts his hand right here and he says, I know it looks like it's over, but I have just begun to find. Hallelujah. And he turned the war around and he marched on. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say it out loud. I'm going to fight the devil. I'm going to weep between the porch and the altar. The eyes of the Lord are looking for somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Now, please don't forget this. I'm a country preacher. Please don't forget this. The Lord did not move for Lot because of Lot. He moved because he had a friend named Abraham. Hallelujah. And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Hallelujah. The devil says, but your grandchild's in a mess and they don't have the favor of God. But I've got the favor of God. But your little girl's running and the devil will torment your mind. But your little girl's living in a mess and she don't have the favor of God. Okay, devil, she don't, but I've got the favor of God. And I'm weeping for her, and I'm praying for her, and I'm standing in the gap, and I'm making up the heads. I don't want your babies to be an unfinished portrait. Don't want them to be. Preacher was called into a home, a little 17-year-old boy, days away from leaving this world. Church folk. Preacher sat there, and he looked at that little old boy, and he said, son, are you saved? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet God? And a little dying boy said, preacher, there sits my daddy. My daddy's fished with me, hunted with me, bought me bicycles and motorcycles. My daddy loves me. If heaven and hell was real, and if being saved was real, my daddy would have told me. My daddy's took me to church, and he's a good man. If it was important, my daddy would have told me. I don't think it's important, preacher. I don't think it matters. Daddy began to squall and daddy began to weep. Hallelujah. It's not enough to buy a bicycle. It's not enough. It's not enough. You were raised on beans and potatoes. It's not enough to buy them babies better food. You were raised on hand-me-down. It's not enough to get them clothes from Belks and Dillard's. They need to know that eternity's real. They need to know that one day we're going to stand before God. Hallelujah. When somebody in the house lifts your head and say, God, give me a bird back for my baby. Give me a bird back for my children. When somebody cried out loud, God, I want a bird back. Hallelujah. Don't you remember when you used to walk the floors at midnight weeping? Don't you remember when you couldn't sleep because a burden of prayer was rolling over in you? God, do it again. Stir us to pray again. Stir us to weep between the... I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I don't want our babies to be an unfinished portrait.
If you got to pick a child up and move around, if you... husband or wife, here, slide over a little closer and wrap your arm around them. I don't want your home to be an unfinished portrait. I want your family. Homes are under attack in our generation. You stood at an altar, and all ceremonies are a little different. But you stood at an altar before just a peace, before a man and woman of God. For better, for worse, for richer, for poor. I love you when others doubt you. I'll believe in you when others walk away. I'll be true to you. I love you. You went and talked to her dad, sir. If you'll let me marry your little girl, I won't ever abuse her. I won't ever make her cry. I won't ever let her do without. I'll lay my life down for her. I'll care for her. I'll protect her. I won't ever ignore her or hurt her. If you'll let me have your little girl that you love more than your own life, Dad, I promise you I'll be good to her. Why is this portrait unfinished? Why, I know life's busy and I know there's all types of bills and stuff going on and I know our load's heavy, but why is this portrait unfinished? And I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this Hatorim Mahaya. I'm talking about a God of a second chance. I'm talking about the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I'm talking about a God that can heal and mend and restore. Hallelujah. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You stood at an altar and you kissed. The Bible said, Ephesians 5:25, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also so loved the church and gave himself for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to do a series at home just on the family, and I'm seeing some stuff that's really affecting me. Under the old covenant, it was almost like sowing and reaping. God said, if you'll love me, I'll love you. If you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. If you'll seek me, you'll find me. But under the new covenant, he says, I'll love you when you're drinking, and I'll love you when you're running around, and I'll reach for you. Long as you've got breath, I'm going to try to save you. Long as you've got breath, I'm going to try to turn you around. Long as there's breath in your body, I don't care what bed you crawled out of, what needle you pulled out of your hand, the new covenant. Hallelujah. 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 Please don't get mad at this pastor, but I feel like preaching right now. A lot of our marriages are under old covenant. If you'll be good to me, I'll be good to you. If you'll love me, I'll love you. We need a new covenant in our marriage. Maybe I'm going to love you when you're having a hard time. And maybe I'm going to be good to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be not careful. Our marriage is just under the old covenant. If you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. But if you treat me wrong, if you hurt me, I'll hurt you. And I know how to do it. I know what buttons to push to make you cry. I know how to cut your heart out of you. I know how to make you lay in wallets cry all night long. I practice at it and I'm good. That's old covenant. But new covenant, hallelujah, I love you. I care about you. I'm going to make you happy. I don't care about your past. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you put me through. I love you. I care about you. You're my beloved. You're flesh of my flesh and bone
all of my bones. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to worship Jesus in this house. Somebody ought to worship Jesus in this house. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. You do me in, I'll do you in. You ignore me, I'll ignore you. That's not the marriage. The world needs example. They need some examples of some men and women that love each other as Christ loved the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. He loved me. He loved me. I know some of this is touchy preaching, but if you and I'd be honest, there's times He could have thrown us away, but He loved me. There's times He could have given up on me, but He chose to love me. There's times He could have turned to that angel, said, mark His name out. Don't draw Him no more. Don't anoint Him no more. Don't touch Him no more. But He loved me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you reach over and hug your spouse or join hands or something? Would you beg the Lord, God, do a healing in this house and in this community and in this nation? Our homes are under attack. Everybody's all tore up about laws at the Supreme Courts trying to legalize marriages between men and women. I'm not worried about that. We love the Bible. That's not going to move us. They lock our churches. We'll preach on the street. They pick us up on the street. We'll preach in the jail. I'm not worried. Worried about that. I'm worried about the pressure that's coming within. Hallelujah. I'm not even worried about adultery. I'm not even worried about pornography. And I'm not worried about the lady on the street. I'm worried about you getting too busy and you just forgot her. I'm worried about, hallelujah, you're so angry. You're so angry. Hallelujah. You're so angry over mistakes she made 10 years ago. And it's eating at you and you can't let go of it. But can I tell you, anger resteth in the bosom of a fool. You're a fool to be mad at something that happened 10 years ago. You're a fool not to let something go. Hallelujah. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. I wish somebody lift your hands and say, God, help me let it go. Help me leave it at the altar tonight. Help me release some stuff. Sheila and I, Sheila's so good to me. We live on a tight budget. Been so kind to help a TV ministry. Don't know how much lighter you've made it. We like our little date nights. It don't matter whether we get to go eat barbecue or Dollar Wendy's cheeseburger. If I can just be with that little old girl. I won't be too hard tonight, but I might as well preach. If He's got to take you out back all the time to make you happy, it's not about Him. It's about status. It ought to be just being around each other. Other. I don't want our homes to be an unfinished portrait. We were called to preach a funeral of one of our partners down out of Warm Springs. We got there to town a little early. That's where President Roosevelt, one of his homes was. And it's the number two most famous and unfinished portrait in the world. And they were called in. Elizabeth was painting his picture on April the 12th, 1945. He was served lunch. FDR Franklin Delano Roosevelt slumped over on the table. His last words, I have a terrific headache. Collapsed of a massive cerebral hemorrhaging. And the portrait was never finished. I don't want our life to be an unfinished portrait. I don't want it. A little local artist who's real good heard about this sermon and this is a copy. It's not really said, Brother Wink, and I have that and finish it for you. I said, I wouldn't take nothing for it.
that's going to preach to me the rest of my life. Love your children. Love your wife. Do everything you can for God. Don't let your life be an unfinished portrait. That call of God on your life. That when that presence of God come to you, said, I've got something for you to do to affect this generation. 1 Samuel 3 and 4, then the Lord called Samuel, he answered, here am I. Exodus 3 and 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, called on him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Genesis 21, and the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he fell on the Acts 9 and 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice on him, Saul, Saul. That call of God on your life. It's always next week and next year, Pastor, I want to do more. I want to help. I want to be a blessing. But you never totally submit or surrender. Give yourself to that call. Don't leave this world and that call of God be an unfinished portrait in your life. No, please don't leave this world. Number one famous unfinished portrait that's in the world. It was painted by Gilbert Stuart. And Martha Washington hired and called him to come and paint the picture of President George Washington. And if you, in the old schools, you remember, it's just like a corner here. Anybody ever saw that picture? It's just wide. It's not finished. It's number one famous unfinished portrait in the world. And George Washington caught pneumonia and he died. And it was never finished. It was incomplete. Hallelujah. That I had a call from a young man. This is such a precious young man. He called me here a while back and I reminded him this week. But he called me here a while back and he said, Brother Wynn, he said, I love the Lord so much. And he said, I want to do something and I really don't know what God's called me to do. He said, can I give you 3 hours a week? He said, I'll scrub a commode. I'll sweep a floor. I'll write a letter. I'll make a phone call to somebody at Miss Church. I'll carry a plate of food to one of her shut-ins. Can I give you 3 hours a week? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praying over this sermon. I can hear the Lord speaking to some folk in this house. Hallelujah. You got an awesome pastor. I wish somebody in the next few days would text or call or shake hands this past, say, man of God, can I give you some time? Hallelujah. What can I do to make your load lighter? What can I do to push the vision? What can I do to stand with you? What can I do to get behind you? Hallelujah. 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 I've stood at funerals where there was no money, and I've stood at funerals of the wealthy, but I've never seen a U-Haul backed up full of toys and money and CDs. We leave it all behind. Hallelujah. I remember my friend in town. I remember him and I love this man, but he had a great position at work. And he said, I can't miss work. They've been too good to me. I can't miss it. And he began to work 6 days a week and 7 days a week and 8 hours a day and 10 and 12 hours a day. And he was the most precious man. But he died and it wasn't 2 days till they had him replaced. And now his name's never mentioned there anymore. And his kids grew up with a lot of toys and fine clothes, but they grew up without a daddy. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, I want to do something for the Lord. I want to make a difference for the Lord. I could mention a name we'd all recognize. Not originals, but Sister Linda Rubalt. Sheila, two copies. We have two hanging in our home from the copies of Thomas Kincaid. Thomas Kincaid, when he died, he was worth $166 million. Because of his tenderness and his talent, he was allowed to go places in the world where other Christians had never been. Thomas Kincaid painted behind the Iron Curtain. He went places in China where Christians had never been allowed to go. He stood in places in communism countries where no one else had ever been allowed. But just a few years ago, too much flirting, too many smiles, and some small home trouble, Thomas Kincaid walked away from a family that loved him. The autopsy said that he died from mixing drugs and alcohol. And of all his paintings that'll hang around the world, he left here his life
an unfinished portrait. The painter of light, he left this world, his very life, an unfinished portrait. That soul you intended to win, you know you got a burden for them, they got on your heart. I really feel the favor of God in this house tonight. There's a family I got a burden for about 10, 11 years ago. And I visited them and they just kind of, I felt the Lord dealing with them, but they didn't feel it. I went a few times and each time walls come down a little bit and I'd call them and they wouldn't come to church. And then sickness came to some families in the church and be real honest, I lost my burden. About a year later, I hadn't prayed for them in a year. I hadn't talked to them in a year. And much as I don't know if anybody was praying for this little family. And I'm at church praying real late one night. And the Lord kind of poked my heart a little bit. And He said, you remember that family you used to have a burden for? He lost that burden. I said, Lord, if you'll give me another chance to get a burden back, I'll do all I can to win them. So I went and called them the next day, and after not being around them a year, they were real cold. Just kind of, Pastor, they just kind of cut me off. So I just backed off and prayed, and every little bit I'd call or something. Now, you don't need our little vehicle. We've been too busy, and we ought to change oil, I guess, at 4,000 or 5,000 miles. Mine had about 6 or 7 on it. Today I was finding me some place to change oil. But the last few months, I rode by a lot of them. I didn't need them. Didn't need a mechanic. Didn't need a garage. Didn't need an oil change of place. But today, I needed one. Found one down in Douglasville, and he's so kind. Got my oil changed. You need to understand, the world, we don't mean a lot to them till they need us. Now, this is hard on us. This is where we got to swallow and be Christians. You got to be kind. You got to be Christians. And they you ain't going to affect them till they need you. This family had a death in the family. Grandma passed. They weren't attending church. They didn't have anybody. Quick as I heard that, I began to weep. I said, God, this is my opportunity. Don't let me miss it. Within 2 hours, I'm on their doorsteps, about $100 worth of groceries. I walked in. I set the groceries down. I hugged their neck. And I said, if you need anything, I'll help you with anything. If you need anything during this time, you call us. Turn around and eased out. Within 2 hours, the phone rung. Said, Brother Wynn, would you come back and pray with us? Sheila and I went back and prayed with them. We left. The next day they called and said, would you help with the funeral? I said, we'll do anything you need. It's been 8 years now. If our church doors open, they're there. Hallelujah. God, give me another chance. God, hallelujah. The last 8 years, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I prophesied. I'm just a little old country preacher, but I prophesied that little old soul. You thought it'd slip. God's about to give somebody another chance. Hallelujah. That little soul, you thought it'd slip. He's the God of a second chance. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. He's the God of a second chance. What happened to that soul? What happened to that soul? What happened to that soul? Remember at that altar when Jesus forgave you and you said, Lord, just an old sinner, but if you'll save me, I'll read my Bible, I'll pray, I'll be faithful to church. When I get to church, I'll worship you. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't want my worship to be an unfinished portrait. I don't want my faithfulness to God to be an unfinished portrait. I don't want my love for the Word of God to be an unfinished portrait. I don't want my desire for Jesus to be an unfinished portrait. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you're here tonight and you're lost, you've told the Lord, Lord, one of these days I'm going to pray. One of these days I'm going to get right. One of these days I'm going to live for you and serve you. One of these days, Lord, I'm going to give my life to you. Don't let this man of God bury you. And have to just tell your family he's in the hands of a just God. That's all we can say. Leave us some hope that we'll be together in heaven. Leave us some hope that there's hope beyond that grave. Leave us some hope. Leave us some hope. Hallelujah. When we had the TV studio built, I asked around about builders and they told me about a crew in Chattanooga. And when I met him, it just won my heart. just a rough contractor, just a rough guy. He had 12 men that worked for him, and I think I went there one day, and he hollered. He said, "No wonder I can't get nothing done around here. Every one of you boys on probation." It's just, this is who they were. They never drank around me. They never brought their drugs or their beer on the job. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Son, you send thousands of dollars to Haiti and other places. Make this crew your mission trip the next few weeks. I'm showing up with hamburgers and sausage and biscuits. And I'm reaching for these folk and loving them. And I'm planting seed." And they moved on to a job. And they'd get in trouble and they'd call me. And I remember Tim, he called and he said, "In trouble down to the hospital." And Sheila and I walk in, he's squalling, he grabs me, lays on my shoulder, and they come to church every once in a while. Then I remember the Saturday morning at daylight, and there's a knock on the door. It's little Larry. He said, "Bro, when?" He said, "My baby died, and I don't know nobody, don't know a preacher that loved me, don't know anybody, never been to church. Would you help us?" And I said, "Son, I'll help you." I just kept planting seed. And Lightning tell me, he said, "But when we gonna come to church?" And he'd come, "We gonna get in, we gonna get right." I had to stand. Pastor, I had to stand the other day. And I really liked this man. He built my son's house, he built my dad's house, built her studio, and he's so good to me. And she called me, "Brother Wynn, Preacher Wynn." They got shot 6 times, involved in some stuff. And I had to stand in his casket the other day. A week ago yesterday. I want your life to be an unfinished portrait. I'm through preaching. Would you stand to your feet? And everybody would. Would you bring your husband or your children? Would you just come to this altar and just kneel a few minutes? Surely the Lord's in this house. Hallelujah. Would you come and kneel in these altars? Would you just tell the Lord, "Lord, I woke up. I've got a little longer. I don't want my life to be an unfinished portrait." I wish everybody would come. Would you slip up to the front of the church, and would you just find a place to kneel? Could we talk to the Lord? Could families get together? I feel healing and restoring in this house tonight. I feel the God of a second chance in this house tonight. The blood, it reaches from the highest mountain. And the blood, it flows to the lowest valley. Lord, would you heal some hurts in the house tonight? Would you erase some pain in the house tonight? Oh, God, please come to these altars. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come and pray. Come and just pour your heart out before the Lord. Lord Jesus, I don't want my life to be an unfinished portrait. Please, Jesus, the Lord's touching somebody. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Oh, God, it's my little boy. It's my little girl. They're not doing real good, but it's my little girl. It's my grandson. It's my granddaughter. Devil, you can't have them. I'm going to weep between the porch and the altar. It's my marriage and hell's trying to destroy it. Hallelujah. The Bible said what God's joined together. What the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, it's a call of God on my life.